Going to read a little passage. This is a really short one in terms of for scripture. Just a one verse one in terms for a message, but it's a very significant verse and when you think what it says. So this is Romans 12:12, and this is God's word. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Father, thanks for your word, and just may it speak to our lives, to our hearts today, in Christ's name. Amen. In the basic last couple of weeks, and still on the whole theme of spirit and truth, but we were looking a couple weeks ago at hearing the voice of God and what that really meant and his desire and that his sheep should hear his voice. And then we looked last week in terms of the spirit and God's desire to move in our lives and to be able to change things and to, you know, make us to be the people that he has in mind for us to be. And really in terms of keeping on that same theme of spirit here, looking today at an area that perhaps beyond any other area greatly impacts our spiritual life and our spirit's well-being. And that's communication with God in prayer. Years back in Daily Bread, and I know there's a lot of you that read it, but they shared this story. It went like this. When King Alfonso XII of Spain learned that the tenants of his court were neglecting to pray before eating, he determined to teach them a lesson. A huge banquet was prepared, and all the king's guests plowed in, none of them pausing to give thanks to God. But by prearrangement, the filthy beggar wandered into the banquet hall, seated himself at the head table, and chowed down. The guests waited for the guards to seize the man, but to their amazement, he continued gobbling up the food without hindrance. Then the beggar wiped his mouth, rose, and stalked out without a word. Someone near the king said, "What a despicable fellow. He didn't even say thank you." Rising, King Alfonso said to them all, "Do you realize that you've been bolder and more ungrateful than that beggar? Every day you sit down at a table abundantly supplied by your heavenly Father, and yet you neither ask his blessing nor express your gratitude." It was a lesson none of them ever forgot. Isn't there some truth in terms, and you think in regard to even our lives, and those are simple words in that verse in Romans 12, and simple, faithful in prayer. They're given really as a command and something we're told to do. And, you know, I wonder as I read through that, in that simple phrase there, could that be said about me? Could that be said about you and all of us as believers? Are we faithful in prayer? Martin Luther said, "It is a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last in the evening." Samuel Chadwick said, "The concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at her toil, mocks at her wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." And the great pastor, evangelist Charles Finney said this, "Prayer bathes the soul in an atmosphere of the divine presence." You know, again, could you look at your life? Could we look at our lives and think faithful in prayer? In Scripture, prayer is mentioned over and over again, and you go back to the Old Testament, and maybe you remember some of those very significant prayers, prayer of Hannah, you know, in terms for having the child, and then Samuel is born to her. Maybe you remember verse in terms of Chronicles there, and it talks about, "If my people will humble themselves and pray." Or maybe you think of stories in terms of Elijah and Elisha as the mighty prophets of God, and some of those prayers, you know, that brought down fire from heaven. Or maybe you think of some of the Psalms and some of the prayers that the psalmists utter there. Or Daniel, you might remember in story in terms of his prayer that led him to be cast into the lion's den. So I don't know you think in terms, but there's so many countless stories even in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, that I can pretty well guarantee you know the Lord's Prayer, remember that prayer. Maybe you remember what really is called Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Maybe you remember in terms of him often being said and praying all night alone by himself. Or perhaps some of Peter or Paul's prayers. Maybe Philippians 4:6, when it talks about don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:17, be joyful always, pray continually. Or maybe this simple verse here in Romans 12:12, where it speaks to be faithful in prayer. Again, there's so many passages in Scripture about prayer that it's got to be important to us as believers, right? And when we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, told to pray for those who persecute us or mistreat us, told to pray for those proclaiming the gospel, to pray for those who are in trouble and those who are sick, to pray for each other, to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests, to pray without ceasing, to pray with confidence, to be devoted to prayer, and on, you know, I could go, but literally there's hundreds and hundreds of passages and verses in terms of prayer. But I think, again, even though we know it is such an absolute essential part of a believer's life, could it really be said about you and I that we are faithful in prayer? You know, that somehow daily that we're drawn to be there in God's presence and to spend that time in prayer, that we absolutely know that something that's so vital to our spirit's well-being that we have to just be there in the presence of God daily in prayer. And I know we're probably used to praying for meals and maybe prayers before we go to bed, but I wonder the depth of what it's speaking here in Scripture when it calls again faithful in prayer and something that's so much a part of our lives that we can't live without it. You know, let's look at several aspects of prayer from Scripture here. And you know what really teaches us in regard to some of that? And so much more could be said in terms of a few little parts here to encourage, challenge us, and in that communication that we have with God. And remembering this is so vital to our spirit's well-being as we look to be a person who worships God in spirit and truth. And to make it easier, I made all these start with the same letter, S. First is this, pray simply. Secondly, pray sincerely. Thirdly, pray saintly. And fourthly, pray steadfastly. Simply, sincerely, saintly, and steadfastly. And the first is really pray simply. And, you know, prayer doesn't need to be profound. Over the years, and I've heard how many people, and you probably have heard the same thing, people will say, well, I don't pray well, and I really hate praying in public or any, just I don't like to pray out loud at all because I'm just not good at prayer. But prayers are never in Scripture heard because they're elaborate or eloquent. If you remember the passage that comes just before the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount, in Jesus' words when he speaks to the crowd that's there listening, he says to them that, when you pray, don't be like the pagans who keep on babbling, because they think that they will be heard because of their many words. But your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. You know, it's like something in terms of amazing. I don't know if you've ever come across the Christian author and well-known speaker, Larry Crabb, and came across this little story of him about a time in being called to pray in public. Young men in his church were expected to pray aloud in the communion services, so the young Larry Crabb felt pressured to pray, even though he had a problem with stuttering. He remembers offering a terribly confused prayer in which he thanked the Father for hanging on the cross and praised Christ for triumphantly bringing the Spirit from the grave. When he was finished, he vowed he would never again pray out loud in front of a group. At the end of the service, Crabb made for the door, but before he could get out, an older man caught him. Larry, there's one thing I want you to know, the man said. Whatever you do for the Lord, I'm behind you 1,000%. He said it changed his life and everything after that because of those simple words. Even as I write them, they fill my eyes with tears. Says Crabb, who since became a best-selling book author, psychologist, and speaker. Those words were life words. They had power. They reached deep into my being. But you think in terms, you know, that trouble praying in public in terms of that. But our prayers in whatever aspect of our lives, they don't ever need to be long and fancy. Prayer is simply a conversation with God, speaking to Him from our hearts, not an essay. And again, as that passage in Matthew 6, look, He knows what we need even before we ask. You think in terms of how it is for a child to come to a parent to ask for something. You know, there's a something simple, genuine about it, and it's the same in terms of children. And, you know, I remember back when my kids were really small there, and really for all children, if you hear children pray, there's just that simple humility and genuineness to it all. Robert Fulghum, he talks about a time and this young little five-year-old girl and praying, and this reminds me again how I remember even in terms of for our kids and other kids. Hello, this is Emily. I'm fine, God. How are you? Thanks for the sky and birds and stuff. Actually, I'm having a pretty good week. And thanks for the mashed potatoes, but not for the lima beans. I thank you really much for the meatloaf. And thanks for chairs and the tables and the doors and the couch and the television and the walls and the roof and the bed and the bathroom and the towels and the grass and the clouds and the street. Dot, dot, dot. Take care. Amen. From Emily. You know, I'm sure God hears those prayers and it touches His heart because it really is about that relationship. And that's in terms of prayer being something that's, you know, simple. Simply pray. Come to Him, you know, in terms, not looking to anything great in regards to what we're going to say, but as we pour out our hearts and lives to Him. You know, it's really being said that prayer isn't there to be able to inform God. It's not something in terms we bring and we want to change His mind and all these things and not coming before Him as some great king who we need to come and somehow persuade that He would show some mercy upon us. But there's the realization as we come to Him in prayer that it's for our will to begin to match up with His will. The change that happens there, because He's a God who's always willing to give, but we're not always fit and ready to receive. And it's so true in regard to that, that somehow, again, all that takes place in our minds, our thoughts, God knows that. He knows all the past. He knows all the present. He knows all the future. And if He knows what's on our minds and on our lips before we even say it, then prayer isn't to inform Him, not to beg of Him as someone who needs to be appeased, but as somehow, again, as we come before Him as His children in that sense of humility there and realize the need that our will would conform to His will. So the simplicity of prayer is that realization. It's about that relationship that we have with Him. You know, faithful in prayer, just pray simply. And the second I would say in terms from Scripture is pray sincerely. James 5:15, it says that the prayer that is offered in faith will make the sick person well. In verse 17 of that chapter, it speaks of Elijah, and it says these words, and maybe you remember, they've always stuck in my mind, that Elijah was a man just like us, yet he prayed earnestly. And if you remember, right, in terms of the prayer for the rain, in terms of that drought there, something in terms of that sincerity, that faith that comes, and as he'd spent time in God's presence and knew that he could come before God, and that sense of an earnestness. And it's the same as, you know, as we spend time in Scripture and as we know about prayer and how God desires for us to be communing with Him in that aspect, knowing that He loves us, that He cares for us, wants to be a part of our lives. And that aspect of prayer that is there to make us dependent on Him, reliant on Him for spiritual well-being. In that same way that we can come with that sincerity, that earnestness, and from the depths of our hearts, being able to pray. And if you look through Scripture, some of the most sincere, earnest prayers were in the times of trouble. And that's really when the people were brought to their knees, as you look through the history of the people of Israel. It's when all those things were taken, and then it's that simple prayer before God in utmost sincerity that He would come and help and do something. You know, God has the power and the ability to answer our prayers. That's in terms we can come and knowing that there's faith that he will listen. You often think when praying for someone and who's in need or someone who's sick, and maybe it's clear what God's will is. And, you know, I know many times, probably for it is for most of you here, that we can pray, thy will be done in those situations. And we know that his will be done. But even when I'm not clear in that situation, whether or not God's going to come and move and heal, you know, I still want to feel that I always pray sincerely that he would come and do something, that he would come and have, you know, heal or do whatever he does, you know, in terms of answering that prayer. That simple prayer that we're hurting and we need you to move. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, a book, maybe you've read it. He said, it's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. And that's the truth. You know, God knows what we're needing, but there's that sense of that realization is coming as his children. And there we're asking, and how we can see him move through prayer there. Scripture speaks so much in terms of coming humbly before him, and God as being the one who lifts up the humble, but humbles the proud. And then speaks in terms of that relationship, that genuine childlike heart to come before him, knowing that he's God and our Father, our Daddy. And so it's really in terms of reminder as we're coming before him in that same aspect and to pray sincerely. The third I'd say is pray saintly. And maybe that sounds a bit funny, but I was trying to get an S word and it was either had to match up with holiness. So it was either going to be pray sanctifiedly or pray saintly. But in James 5:16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And really, as we look throughout Scripture, you know, we know and we can understand that we're righteous because of Jesus. You know, that's all the New Testament as we read and we listen to the words there in the letters that are written by Paul and the others. But it really speaks in terms that we do have that righteousness before God because of Jesus. But there's something more to what it's saying in terms of this when it speaks of prayer. Because in the same verse, it's a reminder also to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, I always wonder about that. Pray again, confess to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous man is effective. You know, what does it mean in regard to that? Because through Scripture we can look and it seems to present the fact that sin is a barrier to prayer. You know, that somehow it interferes with our praying and it interferes with God's answering. And so that if we confess our sin, that if they're always before God for sure, but sometimes to each other as we need to, for accountability, for prayers on our behalf, because somehow it's that confessing that keeps us focused on God and keeps us spiritually clean. You know, maybe as believers, it's the way you can look at it when Jesus goes to wash the feet of the disciple and, you know, Peter speaks out and, no, not just my feet, but all of me, Lord. And he says, you know, who's washed just needs to have his feet washed. But what he was really speaking is more, and in terms of the same thing, when we confess after we are believers, it's not in the sense to have salvation again. It's not to make ourselves to be the children of God again, because that is what we are. But that confession as we come and we pour out our sins before him is in the sense that cleansing of the feet, it's making ourselves to be clean and right with him again, in terms of that holiness and righteousness and keeping those lines of communication open with him. And the way that you often have heard me say, you know, sin causes kind of that static, you know, in terms of us being able to hear and communicate with God, like a distortion. And so as it speaks here in regard to this passage, it's not talking in terms of just that righteousness of Jesus, but it's speaking of the holiness that God desires for our lives and that cleansing that should be there. Because that prayer of a righteous man, righteous woman, righteous girl, righteous boy is powerful and effective. In James 4:3, it says that God will not answer our prayers if we have wrong motives. You know, talk that they would come and that they would ask, but that their motives were not right, and so that God wouldn't listen to the requests. We're told also through Scripture that sin hinders our prayers from being heard. And now I wonder, you know, as you read those things, because we know in a sense as a sinner you come before God and make that prayer that he seems to hear it. So what is it speaking in regard? But it is speaking in terms as people then for us as believers that sin will cause some sense of that distortion there, that static in our communication, and that God's not really hearing our prayers in the same way that he would hear them. It's a strong, you know, reminder of Scripture, and you can look through so many of those different paths that speak there. You know, keeping our hearts clean, our minds clean and stuff before God so their prayers can be heard. And it doesn't always mean the answer is going to be yes, and that's not simply if you think your prayers are not answered, it's simply because of sin, because there's times where still the answer is no. But it means that if we are right before God in terms as we come in that clean heart, that he will always answer. Prayers are always heard and that he will answer. Bill Hybels, you know, he's a well-known pastor, church planter, grew a very large church there, an author, and he said in talking with other people who are concerned because God doesn't seem to be answering their prayers, he used this little outline that he had borrowed from a pastor friend. If the request is wrong, God says, no. If the timing is wrong, God says, slow. If you are wrong, God says, grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. And there's so much in terms, again, of the prayer, pray saintly, that our hearts are right before God when we're coming in terms of where we are in that relationship. And so I know there's something so significant, you know, of keeping ourselves clean with God and right with there that we can be able to pray before him. So pray saintly. Fourthly, and you know, lastly, in terms of this, it's pray steadfastly. And that's how you look at a passage, you know, in terms of Romans 12, you know, faithful in prayer, meaning don't give up. And if you remember the story from Luke 18 about the persistent widow, but it's an amazing little parable as Jesus tells it, because he speaks about this unjust judge and this widow who keeps just coming for him daily. And, you know, she's just desperate for help, desperate for justice from her adversary, from her enemy. But the judge, he is so uncaring and calloused and indifferent toward people and God, as it portrays him in the parable, he's just not a nice guy. And so he doesn't even care about all that she's saying or anything in terms of the justice, could care less about her or her request. But this widow, she's persistent. She doesn't give up. I mean, she's like those telemarketer days of old, right, who keep calling you all the time at supper and you tell them not to, but they don't give up, right? But this widow, she's absolutely persistent and commended for that persistence and day after day coming before this unjust judge and begging for justice. And you know what happens? If you remember the parable, it's not because he cares still about this lady, but he's getting worn down and he starts to get worried probably about himself and this lady that won't give up in terms of persistence. And so he gives in, answers the request, and she gets justice. And it's a neat parable. And, you know, I know as we read it, the story isn't meant to be there comparing this unjust judge to God, because we know that's not God's character. But the point that Jesus is making in all this, that even if this unjust, uncaring judge answers the request of this widow because she keeps asking, how much more will a loving, caring God answer the prayers of those who keep calling out to him? Because he will see that his people get justice. And that's in terms, you know, as we keep asking until God gives an answer. And we have the story with Paul, and it wasn't a yes in the situation when he's praying for that thorn in the flesh, and we don't know, as I spoke before, exactly what could be in terms of maybe eyesight, and maybe it's even something more inner in terms of even spiritual or sense of pride. But we do know it was so troubling that he was begging for God to take it away from him. And God said no, and he kept asking, and God said no, and a third time, and God still said no. I'm leaving it there because my grace is sufficient for you. Somehow that Paul would learn instead of his strength, he would have to lean on God's strength. And so it's the same in terms of this persistence. And until God will answer, and maybe he says no, maybe he says slow, maybe he says grow, maybe he says go. But that we can know that he will answer and respond to the cries of his people. But it's so interesting, I always find at the end of that parable, an example of how we should pray. It ends with this challenging note that Jesus says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I mean, what's it speaking? It's talking all about prayer, but when he comes back, will he find what seems to be that sense of a faithfulness? And we have to gather that speaking even to the heart of prayer and people coming before God in that sense of a faith and believing that he's a God that listens and a God that responds. And what that really means to, for us to be a people that are faithful in prayer. In Scripture, we have prayers that change the outcome for God's people. We don't know exactly how all this fits into his sovereignty, you know, his control and all that God is doing in the lives of people and in the world. But we do know that the Scriptures seem to show him at times changing and responding to those prayers of people. You can remember, for example, prayers of like Abraham there in terms for Sodom and Gomorrah. And I won't go into depth of theology, but again, Scripture is so clear that God does respond. In fact, desiring that his people would pray so that he can answer their prayers, so that he can respond, so that he can move in power and provide for them and take care of them, deliver them. And so as it speaks so much in terms of prayer, it's a reminder for us just to be a people who are continually there before him. And if it didn't matter, if it didn't make a difference, we wouldn't have so many commands, literally hundreds. You know, take a look in a Bible concordance, or maybe you have one in your Bible there somewhere. But how many over and over times that we are told to pray? And to pray continually, to pray without giving up, to be devoted to prayer, to be faithful in prayer. Because we know that through Scripture that God is saying that prayer makes a difference. Maybe you've heard this funny little story. I always like this little one. It's, as the story goes, it says, years ago, an old lady had no money to buy food. She prayed, "Dear Lord, please send me a side of bacon and a sack of cornmeal." Over and over again, she prayed the prayer aloud. One of the town's unscrupulous citizens decided to play a trick on her. He dropped a side of bacon and a sack of cornmeal down her chimney. It landed in front of her as she knelt in prayer. Jumping to her feet, she exclaimed, "Oh, Lord, you've answered my prayer." Then she went all over town telling everyone the good news. This was too much for the scoundrel who dropped the food down her chimney. He ridiculed her publicly and told her that God didn't answer her prayer. He did. The old lady replied, "Well, the devil may have brought it, but it was the Lord who sent it." Now again, the call in Scripture that we don't give up, that we are just faithful in prayer. And so as we look where you're at in regard to what does that really mean as a call to our lives as believers? Because you look so much around us, you know, in the times in which we live and things change. Things are changing. You know, we've been looking at all this stuff in terms of some of the politics that are taking place and province, you can look even at the federal level and all those things. And in Scripture still, we're called to pray for our government. We're called to pray for all these different situations. You know, what does it mean to be a people who are faithful in prayer in regard to all that? We can look around and probably see in our lives and friends and relatives who don't know Jesus. But we can gauge again through Scripture that God moves and responds to the prayer of his people. And for us to be a people who are just continually praying that God would move in those situations and through his Holy Spirit, you know, come and bring conviction and desire to have their lives changed. We can see again through all these difficulties and the troubled times we live and how many situations we can have in our lives that are taking place and lives of those around us and family and friends. And a reminder just to be in the depth of prayer and over that God would move. And I think so much it's been on my mind in the last number of months in regard to this. And I've always been a person who's a lousy sleeper, but now I found that I'm going to use that for good advantage. And so when I wake up in the night and, you know, instead of just agonizing over the clock ticking away and I'm not sleeping, I've decided I just want to spend that time in prayer, whether it's half hour, an hour, or 2 hours that I'm laying there awake, just to keep praying, because God's a God who hears those prayers and he answers. Now it's to call the scripture again that we can know that he's a God who loves us and he's a God who cares and a God desires for us to be in that communication with him as it speaks there. And always the words of scripture to be steadfast in prayer. And persistent in prayer, faithful in prayer. Pray steadfastly. Now we can all pray and we know that God loves the prayers of his people. He desires them. You can think as a parent, you know, back and the kids small, they come on your lap and, you know, sit there and tell you those different things. I gotta imagine how much more God has touched as we come before him in those times of prayer. And so I want to leave you just with that challenge, you know, and thinking of those words, but as you look at all those things taking place and, you know, lives of our lives and family and friends around, we look, you know, a sense of the province, we look beyond that and around the world, just to be deep in prayer. And a prayer that just is there as it speaks of in that continually, and a prayer that just at times, you know, speaks that we go and we find that spot there, that prayer closet, whatever it might be, and it talks that being there in secret with our Father, because the God who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. It's not always easy, and I think there's times where we just have to just pray and keep praying. But it's one of the greatest things and greatest blessings that God has given us with, to be able to communicate to him and to see him move in love and power. And so just that reminder, you know, be faithful in prayer and just to keep as a prayer warrior. Pray simply, sincerely, saintly, and steadfastly. Because I know for sure from the words of scripture that God hears the prayers of his people. Let's bow our heads. Father, thanks for this reminder, and there's really so many scriptures that speak to it. Of what it means to be a people who are faithful in prayer. We can see it's not in the great eloquence of the words, but it's something again that speaks to the heart and the spirit of those who come before you as your children and desiring just to see you move, desiring to see you work your ways through the different situations and we see around us or in our own lives. And desire even as we pray for our will and the wills around us to come into conformity with yours. And so, Father, I pray that you call us, you remind us, move us to be a people of deep prayer. And just desiring just to be in your presence and that communication with you, speaking to you and listening to you as we truly become just devoted to prayer and faithful in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
He comforts me.